You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A Canterbury University researcher is drawing attention to China's influence on New Zealand. In a new report, Anne-Marie Brady details the growing ties between China's Communist Party and organisations within New Zealand. Among the revelations are significant China-linked political donations made to both Labour and National, and Communist Party events attended by Labour's Raymond Hu and National's Yang Jian. This is all part of what Brady describes as China's United Front strategy, one of its magic weapons that helped bring the Communist Party to power. The magic weapons themselves are a metaphor, but the United Front Department is a very real entity, and Brady described its function to me.
The United Front strategy comes from Lenin originally, and we shouldn't forget that the Chinese Communist Party is a Leninist Communist Party. And so this, the United Front is where the role of China as a party state, the People's Republic of China as a party state, as was the Soviet Union. And so the United Front is where the party and the state merge. That's where party agencies, Chinese Communist Party agencies, have a role in Chinese foreign policy. So that's a bit different from, say, New Zealand, where foreign policy is the task of our Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade. And although there are some other government agencies like Ministry of Defence who have engaged in defence diplomacy and customs, they have some, you know, some parts of our foreign policy are followed by other agencies. But as I said, foreign policy is normally in most countries is the task of a Ministry of Foreign Affairs. But in China, foreign policy is employed by a whole lot of, is a task of a whole lot of government agencies, but it also involves the Chinese Communist Party.
And this is more complicated than just, you know, spreading communism, isn't it? It's more about China as a nation and pushing that influence than anything ideological.
China has not had has not tried to export its ideology since the Cultural Revolution, and that was a very brief period of Chinese foreign policy from 1966 to 69, when China was exporting Mao Zedong thought was the key task of Chinese foreign policy. So China is not interested in exporting its political model. However, if countries want to learn about media, how to control the media and things like that, China does offer classes to countries on that, but they're not into exporting their political system. The United, in the current period, the United Front activities have a number of goals. They are, one, trying to build, to influence politics policies of other countries, and also they have a an internal aspect to them, because China, in order to maintain political stability in China, in a country that doesn't have elections with a one-party state, or they don't have fair and democratic elections, let's put it that way, then the party has to work really hard to manage the public sphere and to try and keep undesirable topics out of the public sphere. And because we're now in a very porous information environment, China can't just seal itself off from international public opinion as it might have done, you know, say in the 1960s. And so United Front activities are also involved in shaping debate about China in the Chinese language media outside China, and most recently also in non-Chinese language forums and academia and in the news media. And China's, and that's not just about China wanting to improve its international public opinion, but also in order to make sure that those, that critical views about China don't percolate back into the domestic public sphere.
You've kind of documented what is really this alignment between Chinese groups in New Zealand or kind of Chinese members, high-profile members, whether they be in politics or business, and these kind of links with the actual Communist Party in China. I mean, is that, do you think that in itself is concerning, or is it more where that crosses a certain line where there is then concern for New Zealand?
How to put this well, the people who are working with the embassy are these are not organisations that have sort of sprung up organically out of the New Zealand Chinese community. These are, you'll find, for example, the lead organisation in United Front activities in New Zealand is called the Peaceful Reunification China Association New Zealand, PRCANZ. You will find an organisation, identical organisation in Australia and Canada and the United States. That's telling you something. That is the lead Chinese Communist Party front organisation for dealing with the ethnic Chinese community in various countries of the world.
And that's about One China policy, right?
No, that's one thing that they do, but this is a group who lead and coordinate other organisations that are also part of China's front activities, United Front activities, which, as I say, is the bridge between the Chinese Communist Party and the state foreign policy agenda. So that's quite separate from genuine community groups within New Zealand society, which have been long-standing, of say the New Zealand Chinese Association or groups for Cantonese speakers and so on. So these organisations that I mentioned in the paper are officially supported by China, organisations that have been set up in order to coordinate the Chinese population within New Zealand. The idea of the front organisation was evolved in the 1920s in Europe. There was the Soviet Union came up with a strategy. It was called the Red Orchestra. There was a guy called Wilhelm Munzenberg who was based in Germany. And in the 1920s, because the Soviet Union was isolated diplomatically, Wilhelm Munzenberg, who was a Communist Party member of the German Communist Party and part of the Comintern, which is Communist International, he organised a whole lot of front organisations who were nominally independent but were being orchestrated, hence the Red Orchestra term, by Munzenberg and back to Moscow. So there's a long tradition of these organisations within Communist Party states, whereby they're an intermediary between the government and foreign populations.
And you talk in particular about kind of the role Jian Yang, the National MP, and then Raymond Hua from Labour, and their kind of ties to these United Front groups. I mean, I don't know if you use this term yourself, but would are these United Front leans?
Oh, you're referring to an article by Jitan Lulu.
Yeah.
Raymond Ho and Yang Jian, in Chinese the surname goes first, so his surname is Yang, Dr. Yang Jian. They are, in addition to being list MPs in the New Zealand Parliament, they have for a very long time had a very active role in working with United Front organisations, and you'll find them at events organised by the embassy and featuring those United Front organisations again and again. And a very significant event happened this June, which I mentioned in the paper, when the New Zealand Chinese media organisations were gathered together at the Langley Hotel in Auckland in June this year to get instructions from the deputy director of the propaganda department of the Office for Overseas Chinese Affairs, and the meeting was to discuss the integration of this New Zealand Chinese media with the Chinese domestic Chinese media integration, i.e., that they would be following the same guidelines on what you can and can't say in the media. And Raymond Hoare was at that meeting, which was you know, it's quite extraordinary that he would be there to attend that meeting. But having someone like Raymond there adds an official imprimatur, you know, the acceptance of the New Zealand government or a New Zealand government MP or parliamentary person in good standing within one of the major parties in New Zealand to this meeting, whereby a foreign government official comes in and tells our media how it's going to report. Because just because it's in Chinese doesn't mean that it's not our media. I mean, it's really amazing to me, actually, that this particular aspect of my report has not been highlighted as yet by those who are interested in the subject of media freedom in our country. Because effectively, as I say in the report, Chinese language media in New Zealand, with the exception of the Falun Gong paper, which is called the Epoch Times, and that's because Falun Gong is excluded because they're, in the eyes of the Chinese government, they are an enemy, a cult organisation. So all other Chinese language media in New Zealand is under instruction from the Communist Party's Central Propaganda Department. That's the name of the organisation in China which monitors, manages, coordinates, controls the media in China. In fact, the whole information environment. And propaganda is not a bad word in Chinese. It's Xuantran. Zhongxuanbo is the name of this organisation. It's a literal translation of what I'm referring to, this organisation, the Central Propaganda Department. So one of the officials of that organisation who work in the State Council Overseas Chinese Affairs Office came to New Zealand in June 2017 and gave instructions to our New Zealand Chinese media on how they were going to report in future. And there was Mr. Raymond Ho at that meeting.
And you want an inquiry now into just how far this influence goes?
I think that what I showed in the report is really the tip of the iceberg. I mean, I spent 3 months researching it, and because I had I was invited to a conference in Washington DC. I was asked to write the paper, and I had no idea once I got it. When I was asked to write the paper what I was going to get into. One person couldn't get to the bottom of the extent to Chinese influence activities in New Zealand, and I think it warrants a full inquiry. Australia has already done this before us. Last year, there was a very in-depth study done in Australia by the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet into this very issue, into the extent of Chinese influence in Australia. And 2 years before that, the ASIO did a study on this topic. So it would be in keeping with what our closest ally has done if we were to take this matter seriously and engage in an in-depth inquiry as to the extent of China's influence activities in New Zealand, and you know what are the boundaries that we are, you know, that we might want to put in place, you know, where there might be gaps in terms of managing this behaviour. Because as I say in the paper, we shouldn't be surprised when great powers try to influence our politics, but I don't think that we've ever had a level of influence activities from any other great power before.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.